विश्वानि देव सवित दुहिता निपयासु यद्भद्यं तन्न आसु। आचार्य सुई नंदा जी इज अवे इन इंडिया फॉर 6 Sundays। आई विल बी हियर एंड आई थॉट इट विल बी वाइज एनफ टू डिस्कस दीज 8 mantras दैट वी रेसाइट इन हवन। यू आर ऑल फैमिलियर विद देम। इट बिगिन्स विद विश्वानि देव हिरण्यगर्भ य आत्मदा य प्राणतो येन देवयुग्या प्रजापते सनुबंधु जनिता एंडिंग विद अग्ने नैसुपता। आई थिंक मोस्ट ऑफ यू मस्ट हैव मेमोराइज्ड इट बिकॉज वी असाइड देम सो ऑफन इवन इन आवर स्कूल्स मॉन्टेसरी स्कूल्स एंड संस्कृति स्कूल। सो आई थॉट इट विल बी अ गुड आइडिया टू डिस्कस एट लेंथ देयर मीनिंग एंड आई रियली लाइक दैट depth that they have, and that is what today we will look at the background introduction. Next week there is a guest speaker, then we have 4 Sundays when I will try to take 2 mantras each. So that's my plan. This is Ishwar, Stuti, Prarthana and Upasana. Stuti means singing and listing all his attributes of Ishwar, that infinite consciousness that has something to do with knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge, then you cannot list his attributes. So parenthetically I am mentioning the term knowledge. Prarthana is to seek help and support. Of course we do our best, and then with some support that can come from Ishwar, we can do our task expeditiously, efficiently. That is called Prarthana. And Upasana, difficult to translate into English, but is being with him. So I am that tiny consciousness, and there is infinite consciousness who is the creator of the universe and is also sustaining. That is how all kinds of changes are seen in the universe. And why did I come in a particular family? I didn't have a choice. Somebody has sent me in that particular family. So he is not only governing the material world, but also all of us, the way we have taken birth in this world. So we want to explore his attributes, how we can seek his help. Will it be meaningful for our day-to-day life? And does it make sense to spend some moments with him? This is the depth of the meaning we will be looking at in those 8 mantras. But today I just want to give you a background, because once you mention Ishwar, what is typically translated as God, we become like a religious organization, a religion, follower of a religion. So I like to say that Isamaj is not like a religion. Religion is faith-based and there is a multiplicity. So religion A has a faith A, religion B has faith B, that's why they are different. And then they cause all kinds of problems. There is hardly any day when we don't see problems, what we have seen yesterday in London. Let's look at the present world scene, and should I Samaj, in this flux of the situation, where is I Samaj placed? That is what we want to understand today. And then only we will be helping ourselves to understand Ishwar, Stuti, Prarthana, Upasana. So the present world scene is dominated by 2 sections of people. One section is followers of religions. Religions, as I said, have a faith-based idea, some dogmatic idea, which they are themselves probably not convinced, and if they are convinced, they cannot convince others. Such as a child taking birth from a virgin mother, or there is an element of hypocrisy. Somebody says there is law of karma, but still he believes if you take bath in a river, your sins are washed away. This is hypocrisy. And then somebody goes a stage further, says, though they go after a stone 5 times a day, but they bake others' stone, others' idols. And all kinds of conflicts and wars because, and if you see all the hotbeds today in the world, they are between followers of two different religions. Whether it is Middle East, Kashmir, anywhere, followers of two religions are at war with each other. So that is the way the world is dominated. And of course there is another group of people who claim that they are very excited with science and its development. Science and technology, that of course has helped us, made our life convenient, comfortable, and so on and so forth. Which has a good idea because this is quite rational and logical. There is universality here. The laws of physics are same whether it is in India, Japan, or America. This is a universal thought process. And this being the case, more young people, intelligent people are migrating from my left to right, from religions to science. Those who are staying back, either they are not very intelligent, or they have not read their so-called holy books properly, thoroughly, or there is some other reason. Or there is only one way you can stick to your religion, you become a fanatic. And that is what is the option. Otherwise, young people are migrating from here to there. But even here we see the Western world is dominated by this thought process, and they are also not the happiest people on the earth. Americans don't claim to be the happiest people on the earth, nor do the Europeans do it. So the situation is, where do we stand? Here also there are gaps, particularly those who are at the frontiers of science, they know it. It is difficult to define or describe consciousness. Who am I? This is very difficult. But at this kind of questions, I will not go in detail, but I think you are familiar with these difficult questions that are occupying finest scientists. Who are we? Who am I? And why am I in this world? What is the objective of my life? Where did I come from? Where will I go? And is there a grand designer? Who is playing all this? So they are unable to answer those questions, and they know it. So that's why things are in flux. And that's why they are having good time. Because science must rise to occasion and give good answers to questions that bother us, which are very relevant. If I don't even know who am I, how can I charter my life? So this is what science is hesitating to answer, and that's where I think ISMAJ has a role to play. Let's move on. That's where we say we have a third option. We may be a very microscopic minority, but we should play an important role. What I call third option, and as Maharishi Dayanand said, maya koi uddeshya naya mat panth sthapit karne ka nahi. He was never with that mind. He did not go favor gurudam. He didn't want to be known as. Even the first ISMAJ Kakarwadi, his name appears in list number 43. Dayanand Saraswati. Father's name, Vejanand. What is your occupation? Ved Prachar. Just as any other 42 names above his name, he writes his name simply like that. So is the situation. Let's try to understand. He says, whatever is ours, or jo Vedon ke anukul hai, then we think Vedananda another fanatic. But not. When he writes his commentaries on the Vedas, he says, it is based on 3,000 books. 3,000. Jo vyakti 3,000 pustakon ko aaj granth manta hai, usko hum fanatic nahi bol sakte. He's very, very open-minded. So, we will get a glimpse of his, because these are those kind of rishis who have given us those 8 mantras. So we have to align with their thinking proper. So what is this classical Hinduism? Pre-Mahabharata period, which I put in 3 layers of Vedas, Upanishads, and 6 books of Vedic philosophy called Vedanga, which have Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshik, Mimamsa, and Vedanta. That is called Vedanga as a family. What is their message? That's what we want to say. Classical Hinduism, after Mahabharata, of course, the India has gone through massive decline. But let's try to picture what India was, that spiritual superpower, more than 6,000, 5,000 years ago. So they had, I will say, if one of those rishis was present, he will say, he will fully embrace whatever a science is saying. This is factual. All this is put, even empirical processes have been put on their rational basis. But the problem is they are confining themselves to matter alone. But we accept it fully. Whatever is fact is fact. So our rishis were great scientists in modern terms, but they were open-minded. They said besides this science of matter, there exists a non-physical consciousness, my tiny consciousness, which is a point-like singularity. Just like in geometry, we place a point on a graph paper which has a location, it exists, but it has no length and width. This is called in mathematical terms a singularity. In calculus, we have what is called delta function, which is integral 1, everywhere 0, but infinite value at one point. So there is such a thing in our, somewhere here in our head region, which is emitting that light of consciousness. So my hand is waving, I look like a very conscious being. The moment I die, the same structure will become dead body. So that's powerful thing, which is non-physical, makes a difference between life and death, is my tiny consciousness. And our rishis are saying again and again, this is non-physical, this is non-physical, because so many material things don't possess consciousness. This is the bold step science has to take, otherwise the world will be suffering for long. And then they say, because this tiny consciousness is only able to wave my hands. This is the prime mover. So who is the prime mover in all this entire universe? Why Earth is moving around the sun? And at microscopic level, why electrons are moving around the nucleus? So that prime mover who is present everywhere is called infinite consciousness. So I will not use the term God and all those terms, otherwise people have fantastic ideas. So we will use the term tiny consciousness, which all of us, including animals, birds have, and that one and only one, Mahitvai Kidraja Jagato Babu. So all these mantras will come and you will see their beauty. That is one and one, Mahitvai Ika, Eka, Raja. He is the ruler of the entire universe, including our consciousness as well as the entire matter. So imagine a scientific framework which included matter and consciousness both. That is Satya Sanatana Vedic Dharma. So this is what Aisamaji presents. I try to explain it through a metaphor. Just imagine, that is what we are, scientists are looking for, so-called the unified theory of matter and consciousness. If there was one, And that's what Vedas talk about. What is it? Just imagine the whole beautiful picture. This unified Choi was a picture, a beautiful picture. Of course, if there is an art, there is an artist behind that. But let's look at that piece of art. And suppose it is broken into pieces of puzzle, you have 100 pieces. You have 100 pieces in your pocket, you are quite confident, I can construct it. You are an intelligent person, you can sit, apply your time and mind, you are theoretically possible to construct that picture. That is what Aishmaj intends to equip you with. We want to empower you with this 100 pieces of pictures, puzzles, so that you can construct and you can feel empowered. Yes, I know who I am, I know the world I live in, and I know what is the objective of my life and how to attain that object. That empowerment we want to give to everybody who comes here. And that's what you will see in those 8 months. Let's move on with this metaphor. As the current situation is prevailing, the lower three lines, this is all of us, humanity as a large, 7 billion people. And as I said, today they are broadly divided between science and religion. They don't know that there is third option. So what is the picture now? Ideally, they should reach this unified theory of matter and consciousness. That is the destination. That's where the Satya Sanatan Vedic Dharma claims to take you. But then, of course, there are very tempting forces, namely these religions. R is for religions, number of them, R1, R2, there are hundreds of them nowadays. They will go to this path up to a point, because they don't have those 100 pieces. I will say they have, say, 60 pieces correct. Then they have 20, 30, 40, 40, whatever it is, number. These are notional numbers just to explain the situation. They have defective pieces. But the total is 100. They think, I can construct the picture, but when they go ahead, they follow their directions, they definitely end up in a dead end. They are all at dead ends, and no matter what they do with those 100 pieces, they will never reach here. They just have wrong pieces, is it not? Now, science is much better placed. This is the greatest scientific community, finest minds. They walk along this path, slightly short of, because they are not equipped with the concepts of consciousness, etc. So they fall short of the destination. I will say in this metaphor, say they have 80 or 85, 90 pieces. But they are on the correct path. But they are slightly before the destination. And they just have 85 pieces. With 85 pieces, you cannot construct that picture of 100 pieces. That's where Hinduism, what is known, our Hindu brothers and sisters, a slightly unusual religion. A Hindu, typical Hindu knows he is an unusual religion. Other religions, there is a date of founding, and there is a human being who founded. Jesus Christ founded Christianity about 2000 years ago. Muhammad founded Islam 1400 years ago. But if you ask a Hindu, who is your founder? I have no idea. So he realizes his religion is something different from other religions. When was it founded? He says, I have no idea. And if he is slightly intelligent, he will say it is Sanatan Dharma, eternal principles. There is no date of birth, it will never die, it will always exist. He may have some idea in terms, but still in his pocket, he doesn't have 100 pieces, exactly. Why? As India declined, as I said, we started with 100 pieces, but then we have picked up some wrong ideas. Like world vyavastha, which is scientific. In any society, there will be teachers, there will be police officers, there will be army people, there will be plumbers, there will be businessmen. There cannot be a society or community without these professional categories. There has to be. That is Vedic. That is what Paramatma's design is. Somebody is good in knowledge, somebody is good in skills, somebody is good in certain things. That's how we are different from animals and birds. So one vyavastha, nobody. And today we said the word that nearly said, I have chosen you. You choose it after your study. She is about to get married, she chooses out of her free will a young man. Is it not? So one is where you have free will. And that's what is prevailing after graduation. Somebody becomes a doctor, somebody becomes an engineer, things like that. So one vyavastha is part of unified theory of matter and consciousness. But now a Hindu community has birth-based caste system. So that is one wrong piece in their pocket. So they will have, say, 20, 30 wrong pieces. And of course, I am expert on Patanjali Yoga. This I would like to make again and again. I am not against Hatha Yoga. Hatha Yoga is good for physical exercise, like workout, jogging, playing tennis, all that is good. But to treat Hatha Yoga as Patanjali Yoga is again a defective piece. So Hindus have put a lot of defective pieces in there. So they may have 120 pieces. He thinks he is confident. He is different from other religion. He has 100 pieces, yes. But besides 100 correct pieces, you have 20 wrong pieces. How will you identify the wrong pieces? Unless you discard them, you cannot make that picture. So all for practical purpose, you are just at the dead end like other religions are. So this is where Ahimsa is very important. Whichever religion you are following, or whichever box you are in, science or whatever it is, it will help you identify the wrong pieces which you can discard. And if you come on this right path, it will help you gather some new pieces so that you can go up to that point and make your life more meaningful, more purposeful, more enjoyable and worthwhile. I try to say, if we are on the science of side, and not only science of side, but extension of side, if you are indeed claiming like this, it has to be all provable, is it not? Without evidence, nobody accept anything. So let me quickly build up what we call in engineering or physics by first principles, why all this is relevant and why it must be like this. I'm going by very simple way, step by step, where nobody can deny it. I am this me. Of course, I am starting with a non-physical consciousness. Because if I take this topic, it will take some hours. But basically, our rishis say, the night you have a good sleep, deep sleep, what is called sushupti. Sushupti is very important in our philosophy. When I am not using the instruments of body and mind. Otherwise, in daytime, we are using the instruments of body and mind. So body and mind, when I started this presentation, I had three terms: jnana, karma, and knowledge, action and upasana, is it? So we use the instruments of body and mind to acquire knowledge, which is incoming. Then we think and decide. Then we act. So action is outgoing, knowledge is incoming. Even we do it, animals do it, birds do it, everybody does it. We are no way special from others. We are special from others only on one count, that in daytime when I am alert, I decide not to use my body and mind and bring them totally inactive. Paramatma has given me that instruments of body and mind, but I decide not to use it. Not only I decide, I have so much authority over my body and mind that I can calm them down. That is what is Patanjali Yoga. Yoga is chitta vritti nirodha. All the functions of my mind is subdued thoroughly. When I am in that position, then I am disconnected from my body and mind, and then I am in the lap of Paramatma. That is upasana. So when I bring my mind calm, that is meditation, then I disconnect from my mind, and I am in the Paramatma's lap, That is upasana. So that is only the human beings can do. No animal bird is concerned with it. So that is why we have threefold pursuits: knowledge, action, and upasana. But of course, upasana is missing in today's world. That's why Aisamaj is very keen to educate everybody on what is meditation, how to be in Paramatma's lap and taste that pleasure of upasana. Why did I mention it? Because this is what we get the faint idea of upasana when we are in deep sleep. Deep sleep is not earned by me much. It is a gift by that Paramatma. So the morning you wake up, when you have no recollection of any dreams, you came out of Sushupti. So our Rishi is saying, imagine that morning you came out of deep sleep. You say, I slept well. Now the Rishi is asking you, who slept well? When your body and mind were non-functional, who was sleeping? Then you say, that who was sleeping was me. So in brief, I have tried to say, this is my tiny consciousness. Who sleeps well? Otherwise, who is dreaming? Otherwise, who is engaged in knowledge and action? But who sleeps well in Sushupti? So that is me, that is non-physical. I put it in a circle. All other things are made of matter. They are in the square bracket. So what they are saying is, you are in the daytime observing so many. All this is brought to you by five senses. Once you accept that, now we'll go step by step. We have five sensory organs. The Sanskrit term chakshu shrotra ghana rasana sparsh. Then English translation, sight, sound, smell, taste and touch. All this information is brought through these five channels. The data is picked up. It is brought to a point that is called chitta. That is the skin. We always use that metaphor, thumb in the fist. So as if this is me and this is the skin I am watching always. So imagine there is a dark hole here, cinema hall, very tiny black hole. That's where you are residing and you are always watching that skin. So that is what is called chitta, the skin I am watching. And these five signals are brought up to this point, like on a TV monitor or your computer desktop, and then you say, yes, I got it. Bodh ho gaya. That is called bodha, vijnanam. So I get to know it. Once it gets here, it gets registered to you. You cannot deny I didn't see it. Once it comes to this point, sometimes our eyes are open, but we might not have noticed things closely. We can deny, no, my eyes were open, but I was not quite noticing it. I didn't see it. Okay, but when it comes to this point, nobody in the world can say, I took cognizance of that information. So here, this is the last point which I am always watching. So that's how our Rishi is saying that these five channels bring the knowledge here. And I think up to this point, it's difficult to deny these facts. But this is not complete. Sorry, this is not well legible. So I am saying, the Vedic Rishi says, this is not the story. So we are building step by step. What is he saying? You don't get these five channels ending up here simultaneously. That is what is said in Nyaya Darshan by Gautam. Yugapat jnana na bhavati manaso lingam. So he says there is another thing in between called manas. That is in this slide. Let me go back. So what he's saying is these five channels, incoming channels, they pick up data from their surroundings very fast. All this is happening at speed of light. And they bring knowledge here. But then Gautam says, this, what I see through the eyes, what I hear through my ears, they don't end up together. Yugapat, simultaneous. Jnana, knowledge is not acquired. Therefore, there has to be a link here between. Depending on which link is connected to I will. So you know it very well in our day-to-day life. If I am very much absorbed in observing something, and if somebody says a word, a sentence to me, then I say, sorry, I was not hearing you. I didn't listen to you. I did hear, but I was not listening. Can you please say this again? This is something we have in our everyday life. What it means is, when I am fully absorbed in sight organ, I miss out data coming from other four chakras. That's what is made here, that there has to be a link that is called manas. These are Sanskrit terms. English translation is link. Now, depending on this, whether it is capturing data from chakshu, then the optical data is coming and I am able to see. The other data is blocked out. But it is so fast. It is scanning these five channels so fast at the speed of light that, like at this point, you think you are seeing as well as hearing me, is it not? Because both the data are coming so fast, they are placed, but at a given moment, we are either seeing or hearing. And that is what is necessary. There has to be a link like manas. This is also not enough, because there is an objection. The objection is, yes, I see, I hear. This is real-time event. Now something else is happening. But I do remember what I saw earlier. Where is that data stored? So the person is asking, there has to be a mechanism, because we have a memory. We remember things which we saw in the past. So it is not just like a TV. It is TV with a VCR kind of a thing. So what is that? So that's what the Rishi says. There is another device. So the data coming from manas, coming from these five channels, was picked up one at a time by manas. It is supplied to the memory. That is called ahankar. Difficult to translate at this point. You know, there is a lot of confusion in the literature, but because I don't want to go in those things, time is limited. Yeah, time is getting over. Let's quickly. So there is a memory. That's why I put English translation. So don't worry about why this is called ahankar, why this is called manas, why this is called chitta. But there is a reason for all this. So let's say, these five channels are bringing in data, picked up one at a time by manas. It is now not sent directly to chitta. This is like your TV monitor, but this is like my VCR. This is like TV antenna, if you want to understand through modern technology system. So these are like TV studios. Five channels are sending in channels. Antenna picks up one at a time, sends it to the memory device where it is stored, which I may want to see it future. And it is also projected here. This is how me and my instruments are functioning. This is what our Rishi is saying. This is you. These are your instruments. Manas, ahankar, chit. All these three boxes put together is called mind. Human mind. Which is different from the brain. So there is a lot of confusion about all these terms and mind and brain and this and that. So, you know, that's why science community will take enormous time to understand all this. But let's move on. This is how we are functioning. But where are we functioning? And what is happening to us? Of course, this is incoming knowledge. And once the data is reached here, it becomes an experience for me, is it not? After all, we are conscious being. We go through pleasure and pain. That's where the fantastic idea of a raw matter, what is called prakriti, out of which Paramatma has constructed all these instruments for us. So that prakriti is there. This is in its raw state. And this is where our Rishis came up with a fantastic idea. What they say is, throughout your 24 hours, if you see all your states, there is a wide spectrum. But he says, and it includes, sometimes you are very happy, cheerful, sometimes you are let down, you are unhappy, you are tired, this and that, and later in the evening we are so much tired, we go to sleep. Then we are in sleep. So they said, there are three terms here, three strands, three basics, primary entities. They call it guna, sattva, rajas and tamas. When this is dominating, so chitta is made out of prakriti. When sattva is dominating, you are happy. When rajas is dominating, you are running, you are more, adrenaline is more. So sattva is something like dopamine, so to say. But I don't want to mix up those terms. Let's look at what Vedic Rishi is saying. And when you are too much tired, you are sleepy, then this is dominating by tamas. This is their fantastic idea. So look at this. I like to describe it with three primary colors, red, blue and yellow. And if you have these three colors, you can make infinite colors, is it not? All the other colors, infinite colors, can be made with these three primary colors. So whatever your emotion, any moment that you go through at your chitta is interplay of sattva, rajas and tamas. Is that okay? That is so simple. And that's what our rishis found out. They said that prakriti, this is what it is called, trigunatmak, parinami, all transformations are taking place in this world. This is aparinami, kutast, nitya, shuddha, buddha, mukta, swabhav. This doesn't go through any change whatsoever. But we are so much absorbed on it, we take it as changes here as if they are to me. So that is what is called avivek. And then our rishi is saying, you try to obtain what is called vivek khyati. Vivek khyati is to know that I am different from this. That is what is the necessary mechanism, is meditation, etc. So that is what the philosophy goes on. But let's move on quickly to complete this picture. Of course, all this data is coming, but where is it coming from? So, subtitle is the objects around me. So, Paramatma has made the beautiful world around me out of the same prakriti. So, but now the arrow is going this way. So, we are going this way. So, ahankar is slightly gross, more gross than chitta. Chitta can only show the real-time, momentary data. It doesn't store anything. Ahankar has a capacity to store something. It has some inertia. That is why out of ahankar, panch tanmatra is made. I will not give more time on that. But then they are made into what is called vishesh, panch bhut, agni, vayu, prithvi, jal and akash. So this is our Vedic scientist primary periodic table, that there are five elements, five sensory organs. That's how things build up further. Just to give you an idea, Agni, Vayu, Agni, intentionally I have not translated as fire because it is not that. So imagine Agni, like I am able to see this table. I have a chakshu. There is something here which is emitting a signal that my chakshu is able to capture. So the signal is called as roop. Don't look at roop as roopati kanya or anything like that. Roop is the signal, data signal that is emanated by this table and that is captured by my chakshu, and then it goes through this that I have already explained. It reaches here and then I say, yes, I am seeing the table. Now that element in this table which is emitting the data signal of roop is called Agni. So it has Agni, that is why it is emitting roop data, and my chakshu is capturing that. And so you can, there are five objects, five subjects, and that's how things are working. I have to go fast. So now, though, as I started the story, if all this is so true, it should be validated, it can be verified. And that's what is the beauty of Patanjali Yoga. Validates me as well as that infinite consciousness. So in Patanjali meditation practice, what do? We try to bring it absolute inactive, as if nothing is happening. Then yoga chitta vritti nirodha. That is what is yoga. It's to subdue what appears on my skin. Then I invariably feel good. So what will happen? When this is subdued, then tadadashtu swarupe avasthana. Then I know myself. And also one thing will happen, if Sushupti is universally felt good, deep meditation will also be felt good. But in Sushupti I am unconscious, I have no real time recollection, I know it only when I come out of it. But that's how this upasana is different. In real time, I will attain that state of Sushupti and I will feel it in conscious mode. And that feeling will be universally pleasant. So one who goes there, he says, I felt very good. Other person also feels, I felt good. Then we ask the question, is it your true nature? Just like this, sukha, dukha and moha, which is here happening. So Rishi is saying, you are, if sukha or dukha or moha was your characteristic, you will always be in sukha, you will always be in dukha, you will always be in sleeping. But it is none of your states. So these are the attributes of prakriti. This is not your attributes. Deep in meditation, you say, I feel very good. But then if it was your characteristic, you should always feel good. Then he coins a term, ananda. That was ananda. You got a taste of ananda, which is not your attribute. If it was yours, you will always be in ananda. Is it not? Where did it come from? It came from because you were with infinite consciousness, who is Sachidananda Swarup. So that proves the existence of Sachidananda. So I basically tried to describe to you that what is the Satya Sanatan Vedic Dharma, what is our true heritage and legacy. We are not just another religion, and we have a basis, and one day hopefully scientific esteem will adopt non-physical consciousness that will solve a number of their problems. So I have already stated, meditation leads to Ishwar Upasana, and of course as I discuss these mantras, we will also have a taste of Upasana. I request our friend Sanjay Sudji to come and guide us to meditation, via meditation Ishwar Upasana. So you will see in next few weeks, we will discuss all kinds of aspects. 8 mantras beautifully describing the creation, creator and our human object. Thank you all.